and let's get right into it, shall we? Listen, I'm so glad you're here, and thanks for listening, and thanks for being a part of what we're doing here at the Misfit Toy Society. Let's get right into this training block, shall we? We have a three-block series on being happy. On if you're listening to this and you've found it, obviously you've seen that the first three parts are, you know, 101, 201, and 301. And this is basically a refresher. And I say refresher, continuing education, CES. But it's to keep us sharp. And it's to keep the blade sharp. You know, it takes more effort to push a blade through whatever it's cutting if the blade is dull. But if it's sharp, it doesn't take much much force at all. I paused there for a moment because suddenly I remembered back in, oh man, I guess I want to say this was 2007. And a friend of mine, he had been convalescing at Walter Reed. He was wounded in an IED. And we went to a local gun shop, an LGS, and he saw they had a really nice diamond sharpener there. It had like the two sticks that crossed like an X, I guess. Anyway, he wanted to show me the reason why it was so good. And he did a few strokes on it with a new knife that he had. And he took a piece of paper that they had next to it. I think it was a Post-it note. And man, that thing just peeled that Post-it note like it was tissue paper. I mean, just cut strips off of it, you know, with like magic. I'm like, oh, a sharp knife, right? Effortlessly. I mean, that thing would cut your name in two. That was a that was a reference from the movie Predator. Cut your name in two. God wants you to be sharp. And not only that, he has made you his best friend. When I say sharp, that your mind is full of it. Because that could, you know, saying sharp is kind of shorthand. That could mean a lot of things to a lot of people. I mean, does it mean he wants you adamant about it or militant about it? No, this is what he wants you to be. He wants you to be full of thinking about it and refreshed and full of hearing about it. And he wants you to have, as a result of that, to decide that you're excited about it and decide you believe it, right? That's what I mean being sharp about it, that you're up on it, that you're recent with it. You've looked at statements from the Blood Covenant about it, you know, from your written copy of your Holy Bible, which is our written copy of our covenant. So, you know, when people say you need to get in the scripture, why? Like just to read it or to check off some religious box? No. Forget all that. We are refreshing ourselves in covenant statements that God, our best friend, has made that are in the covenant. Well, for this one, God wants you to know, since you're in this already, in this section, on the happiness section, God wants you to know that he absolutely wants you satisfied inwardly and fulfilled inwardly. And those come from this. He wants you happy. Now, where does the happiness come from? Does it come from external things or, you know, getting a new this or experiencing a new that or going on a vacation? Hey, those things are great. And I'll give you a statement that proves that they're okay to have. A new watch, a new this, a new widget, whatever it may be. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. That we trust in God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with things, especially if you use them to tell other people that God's made them made them his best friend and that he just wants to be best friends with them. And it helps let other people know about the blood covenant. But he also doesn't have any problem with you enjoying stuff at all. Listen, King David gave, I think adjusted for inflation, the last time I looked at it, it was about $2 billion of his own personal money to the building of God's house in the Old Testament. That's pretty good. And listen, $2 billion was a lot more back then than it is now. And it's a lot now. I mean, you have $2 billion next to your name. You're doing all right. I mean, You don't have to sweat inflation. You don't have to sweat that, you know, a carton of eggs went up 40 cents. You know what I'm saying? So God doesn't mind you having plenty and being able to enjoy it, especially if you, number one, you use it for his covenant mission. I've got to let everybody else know how wonderful it is to be best friends with God. And two, for you to enjoy your life. Amen. But he also wants you to know this, glory to God, that I had to let that out. Sorry. I had to let that out. I had to give God some, I had to just tell God how much I appreciate him. God wants you to have an inner prosperity, an inside prospering. He wants you to have something that on the inside of you can, a light that can never be put out. And that light's warmth, that light's energy and vibe makes you happy. You get what I'm saying? That you're happy from the inside. Well, you gotta, you gotta have a reason to be. This, a lot of cults and meditations and all those things, they're trying to achieve the results that God wants you to give you. God wants to give you. Let me say this again. They want to achieve what God wants to give you without involving God in it. And you just can't get there because he's the only one that can give it to you. He's the only one that's made a covenant in blood with you. In fact, I've said that to the Lord and on his behalf. I said it to him personally, speaking to him and having best friend time with him, but also to others. Like, you know, I had a friend of mine ask me, he said, well, you know, I've been reading about the Greek gods and other, you know, mythology out there, and there's lots of good stuff. And I, you know, I couldn't argue. I've read some of the stories myself. They're pretty entertaining. He's like, so why the Bible? And I didn't have an answer at first for him, you know, not out of my intellect anyway. And so he talked and, you know, and joked around and we having just a good conversation. I checked inside with God, my best friend, and his spirit who lives inside me, you know, the Holy Spirit who lives inside you as well. And I said, well, what about it? And he just said two words, blood covenant. And when he said it, I could see it. The light came on, if you will. I can understand what he was getting over to me. No other mythology, no other religion's God, little G-O-D, no other religion's deity, nobody else that anyone could worship had ever cut a covenant of best friendship in his own blood with them. No one. And that just, I tell you what, and that had all the effect on him. That was all he needed to know. He went all in all the time and became a believer just in a short 20-minute car ride. Like at the end, I was like, you want to pray? He said, yep. And he was all in. He was like, let me get into this blood covenant. Well, yeah, wouldn't you want to? It doesn't take much. It's everything you're looking for. God in his covenant. This binding blood, I say a blood oath, it's his blood and it's his oath, gives us a reason to be happy. Now, just let that sink in for a second. Just pause for effect. God's covenant gives, he doesn't just give us one reason. Oh, he does. But he gives us many reasons to be happy. And they all are independent of anything external, you know, bad weather, good weather, bad economy, good economy, friends treat you right, friends treat you bad, good Christmas, bad Christmas. You get what I'm saying? Those, they affect our emotions, sure, but they can't affect your happiness inwardly because it's God that gave it to you. I'll never forget it. The Lord was helping me see that. If anything outside, now listen, we're supposed to enjoy external things. You enjoy your family. You enjoy your, you know, you're happy with your spouse or your children. Those are good and proper. And they're absolutely right. And they're from God and they're supposed to be enjoyed. Absolutely. But our happiness, number one, first and foremost, is supposed to come from an inward source where we're happy with God and his being good to us and his being our best friend and his love for us, his absolute commitment to us. Because if our happiness is founded, I mean, it has its foundations on anything external, it can be taken away from you. See what I'm saying? Well, my happiness is because I just got a new Omega Seamaster. But it gets stolen from you at a hotel. And now you're sad. You see what I'm saying? Like it can go up and it can go down. I just use that example. That didn't happen to anybody. I just use that at random. But when you know that your happiness and satisfaction, I mean absolute satisfaction, meaning absolute inward fulfillment, you are full. You are satisfied because God gave it to you. It can never be taken away from you. You can never lose it. Now darkness will try to distract you from it. And by distraction, may try to hide it from you, make you forget about it. But that's why we are talking about it, so that we stay strong in it. We stay up in it. We stay sharp in it. And we can cut through those distractions like a hot knife through butter. Amen. Well, let me read you this. 3 John, it's a very small little letter. In verse 2, there's only one chapter. It says, "Beloved, I desire, I pray, above all things that you'd prosper and be in health." Now listen to this. "Even as your soul prospers." Look at the order here. It looks like it's outward prosperity's first. Well, it's first in his mention, but not first in importance. It is important. Do you know how hard it is to do God's work on the earth and let people? Listen, the only thing we can take with us when we leave this earth is what we've done with God, our best friend, and who we've helped on his behalf. That's it. Everything else is going to stay here and be given to whoever or be sold off or thrown away. All your favorite stuff is going to go somewhere else when you leave the earth. We're just using it while we're here. I was laughing about some friends who, they spent so much money on amenities when they deployed to Iraq. They bought ice makers. They bought little refrigerators. Spent a lot of money. And listen, for an 11-month deployment, that ice maker and that refrigerator was worth every cent. But they can't bring that back on the airlines. They left it there or sold it to somebody. And you know what? I remember that thinking like, yeah, that's exactly what we do too. So our inside prosperity. And prosperity has so many triggers these days because the devil wants to fight it and people have misused it and there's misunderstanding about it. When I say prosperity, I mean this: an inward successful life. An inward improving life. Here's a real simple definition for prosperity. Life like Jesus lives it. Remember the Lord's Prayer? If any of my good ex-Catholics listening, they know the Lord's Prayer. What is it? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Prosperity is life on earth like Jesus lives it in heaven. Now, it's a whole lot easier to go where you're sent by God, do what you're told by God, and accomplish what God, our best friend, gives us to do with resources. That's much easier. Again, using the blade analogy, you can cut through this earth like a hot knife through butter with enough money. Amen. Now you got to have the plan. You got to have God's wisdom. We get that. But we don't want to digress and get off topic. We're not here to fix everyone's thinking about prosperity. I just want to give you a simpler idea and picture of it. Say, oh, okay. Because there's a whole lot of other stuff out there that isn't God. But we're not here to talk about all that. So let's stay on topic. The inward successful life. Ooh, that just... There is a joy in being simple, man. I tell you what, I don't mean simple as in stupid. I mean simple as in usable, and an inward successful life. In the 23rd Psalm, the best friend Psalm, when God talks about that the Lord is my best friend and I shall, and my shepherd, I shall always have more than enough. Or the King James says, I shall not want. One of the very next verses said, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. That is part of the inward successful life. Listen, if you've ever been unhappy, and how about for a long time with no really good reason, which is called depression, if you've tasted God's happiness, it's so good. Because also, you know how to have it, and which is why we're talking about it, and you know how to enjoy it whenever you want it. Amen. So, it says, even as your soul prospers. So these outward things, our health and our outward success, is going to be very much affected by our inward life, our inner prosperity. Are you with me on that? Paul talks about it in this Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Philippians 4, 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, because he's talking to them about, he was mentioning how pleased he was that the Philippian church had begun to send him support. And he says, listen, I'm not talking about because I just wanted some money. I'm excited for you. And he talks about that later. He goes, I'm excited because good things are going to happen to you. That's why he was excited. But he said this, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now notice he learned it. This wasn't automatic. God had to show him some things and teach him some things. Very much what we're talking about right now. But look at what he said. I've learned to be happy no matter what happens on the outside. Contentment is a happiness that is independent of outward circumstances. It's an independent happiness. I'm happy when things are good, and I'm happy when things aren't so good, because I'm passing right through them. Remember, so again, Psalm 23, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't build a house and stay in the valley of the shadow of death. That's not where you build your real estate. This is where we pass through. Like, okay, let's just, hey, we're going to get through this. And then we don't have to fear it because the Lord's with us. He said, for I know thou art with me. Amen. Well, this was the first scripture that really broke my, broke me through the idea. I had a mistaken thought that God didn't promise us satisfaction. And when I said it out loud in a church ministry setting, God very much, I got a big red light about that inside. Big check, if you will. A big, mm-mm. Well, he didn't tell me what or why. I immediately pulled aside and just said, sir, I'm still thinking about that. Teach me. What was that about? Listen, I'm just treating him like he's my best friend. I wasn't trying to pray some deep prayer. Listen, he knows. He's my best friend. So I'm just saying, hey, what's up? Show me what I need to see here. I don't. Help me out. And this was the first scripture that I began to look up. I just had an inward, let's call it intuition. I had an inward knowing. That's a more educated way to say it. An inward knowing to look up scriptures on satisfaction to see what the Lord said about it. Look, and when I say scriptures, let's say this, statements from the covenant. What does the covenant say? What has he said on record in blood already? Before I try to make him, you know, oh, God, speak to me. And the Holy Spirit's like pointing to the Bible. I'm like, oh, God, speak to me. And he's like, I already have. Open the book. Do a search. That's why I gave you the app and the technology. And it was this scripture. It's in the 31st verse of Jeremiah. Excuse me, the 31st chapter of Jeremiah in the 31st verse. Jeremiah 31:14. Y'all ready? It says, I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. Now, that sounds really King Jamesy, and we have no idea what it means, right? The New Living Translation says it like this. My priests will enjoy abundance. Well, hey, that's nice. And that doesn't just mean people in the ministry. In the New Testament, we've all been made priests unto our God. What does that mean? Let's give me a practical definition of what that means, Brother Duke. Easy. We've all been made his anointed servants to carry out his will in our life wherever we are. You may never stand behind a pulpit or pastor a church or, you know, travel and minister. Those are all enabling offices. Those are supporting roles. The ministry isn't the fivefold ministry, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Those are not here to be the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear. We can't be in your life or on your job site or on your team or under, you know, in your command or in your element or in your department or wherever you are. We can't be in your squadron. We can't be in your role where you are. As a minister, my job is to support you and enable you with everything God is saying to me and giving to me to give to you, so that you can be a successful priest, so that you can be a success. Don't I say priest? Don't think, you know, the white collar and the black robes. I mean that you can be a successful sent one from God. Okay? You are hit. Let's exchange the word priest for this. How about this? Asset. You're God's asset. You're not only his best friend, you're his strategic asset. Now do you see it? Okay. So he says this, my priests will enjoy abundance and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Now let's again roll in Psalm 23:1. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord, who is our best friend and shepherd. Amen. Our best friend has said that my people and my assets will enjoy my generosity and will be satisfied with my goodness. That's another word for the word goodness, generosity. God wants you full of his good generosity. Well, that leads us to something. That leads us to a particular end state. Listen, when you're full of his generosity, and don't just think, how about this? Don't only think, you know, all your bills paid and all, because remember what Paul said, I'm happy when things are good, when things are bad. God supplying all your need is part of his generosity. He's put that on record. It's a statement. And there's no refuting it or arguing about it. Amen. All need means, wait for it, all your need. but when you're full of his goodness, and also Psalm 23:6, his goodness and his mercy shall follow me or stick with me. Keep showing up in my life all the days of my life. And then the rest of the statement goes, and I live with him in his house forever. This is a happy life and continually God's covenant sworn love that he is all in all the time with you. You got to understand, he's excited about you and he's excited to be a best friend to you. And it's that commitment we call love. He's excited to be committed to you. He's excited to do everything he's told you he would do and be everything he's told you he would be for you. And he doesn't drag his feet and he's not bummed out about it. He's thrilled about it. It's a white hot commitment. He's eager to be good to you. And hey, listen. Knowing that and hearing that, that is the prime reason to be happy. Listen to this. Psalm 90, verse 14. This became kind of my, not kind of, this became my my golden text. But this became my foundation statement from the covenant on the matter. It's that the person writing the psalm is praying is, "Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy." Well, if you don't know what mercy is, like, okay, what's mercy? That sounds good, but I don't know what it means. It means just mercy, like when I make a mistake. That's part of it. Mercy comes from a Hebrew word, which just for the sake of trivia, the Hebrew word is hesed. Hesed. In English, what do you call it when you spell another language out in English? The way it's phonetically spelled out in English is H-E-S-E-D, hesed. But it means loving kindness, tender mercy. There's a lot of words to describe it. It is blood covenant, best friend, commitment and love. It is when I say I'm going to do something for you, I volunteered to do it and I'm thrilled to do it. And that whole commitment of listen, I'm laying awake at night excited to do what I've said to you because of how committed I am to you as a blood covenant best friend. Now, that's a big illustration or analogy, but that gives you a visual image of his mercy. It's best friend love, man. Come on. It's best friend brother love. Listen, I know my best friend has desired something for a long time. And I found a way to get it to him. And tomorrow morning is the day I give it to him over breakfast. And I'm so excited about it. I can't even sleep. I want to wake him up right now and give it. And it's that commitment. I'm so far gone about asking if I'll give it to him. I'm so excited to do it for him. Amen. And it says, "Oh, satisfy us early." How about this? How about we just say it like this? "With your best friend love for me." It says that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. First of all, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy" means first thing, right away, immediately. Our satisfaction, point number one, comes from him. And what are we satisfied with? We just read two scriptures back to back. His generosity, his goodness, how he treats us, and his mercy. You could say it like this: what he wants to do for us and how much he wants to do it for us. His generosity and his white hot commitment, his best friend love for us. Listen, at whatever registers with you, we're saying it in as many different ways as we can so you can grab, you know, just, I get it, I see it, making it simple as we can. But notice, it leads us to this, so that we can celebrate, the word rejoice means celebrate, and be glad all of our days. That word glad, don't let that get past you. It means to be happy. It means to be happy. Let's say it again. I'm going to put Jeremiah 31:14 and Psalm 90:14 together in a way. It says, "My people shall be satisfied with my best friend blood covenant generosity." And then we are satisfied first thing and immediately with his best friend love, so that we can celebrate and be happy every day of our life. It comes from him. Amen. Man, well, there's an important point to make here. The 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation says this, at the end of the 17th verse, it says, "Let him who is athirst come and take of the water of life freely." It says, "And whosoever will or desires, let him take the water of life freely." The third chapter of John's gospel, the Gospel of John, the 27th verse, John the Baptist says, a man can take or receive nothing unless it be given him from heaven. So he says here, and it's also the same writer, but that the angel is speaking, you know, and he's not just speaking whatever he wants to. He's speaking a message from God himself. Whosoever desires, let him receive the water of life freely. Let him take it. Now, that means we got something to do. And I'm going to read you some more scriptures, possibly on being happy here in a moment. That means that his goodness and his mercy is available to us every day of our life. But we make a decision of confidence in God to decide that we take it. Jesus gave us the exact statement in the 11th chapter of Mark in the 24th verse. He said, whatsoever things you desire or you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them right then and there. Believe that you take them. He said, and you shall have them. Where are you going to have them first? Inside you. In your heart. In your spirit. How about this? Going back to the beginning. In your inner life. Got me? So with his goodness and his mercy given to us, that he wants us happy and satisfied all of our days, what do we do? Sir, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I believe that I receive it. How often can I do that? As often as you want. I haven't seen a limit yet. I've been, you know, looking at this for, you know, a good bit of time, more than a few months, more than a few years. And I haven't seen a limit that we can do that. I haven't seen God go, hey, that's enough. He said, whosoever desires, let him come and take freely. Freely is a, that's a blank check, my brother. That's an all-you-can-eat buffet. You can go back for as many dinner rolls as you want, buddy. But we make a decision to go ahead and believe that we receive it. Right here and now. And don't wait to feel happy. Just decide, thank you, Lord, I decide. One of the things he began to teach me was this, that contentment, when Paul talked about, you know, I learned in whatever state I am to be content. When he was writing the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter in the 5th verse, it says, be content whatsoever with whatsoever things that you have. And the first thing that he said that we have is that God has told us in the blood covenant, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We've got a reason to be happy. God is our best friend and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that he has given us his generous goodness and his best friend love. And we can go ahead and just believe we receive it and be happy right now. And then decide that we're content or decide that we're happy. Contentment is another old English word for being happy. It's an inside happy. It's an inner happy. You can just decide you're happy right here and now. Lord, I decide I'm happy. I decide I'm happy. And listen, this works best and it's at its most powerful when things around you look terrible. In the news and social media, in your own life, you got $5 in your account. Lord, I decide that I'm happy. Listen, I still believe that my God shall supply all of my need, but I can be happy on the way to the supply. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't have to fall apart and be upset. I can go ahead and be happy. The inside happy is going to affect the outside. It's going to affect my outside success and my outside health. Amen. Man, that's good. I'm taking a moment to savor it myself. In the book of Psalms, Psalms 37, verse 19. In fact, you know what? We'll back up to verse 18. It says that the Lord, our best friend and shepherd, knows the days of the upright, knows the days of the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? If you've been listening to some of our other training blocks, the righteous are those whom God has made his best friend. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible talks about how when Abraham believed God, God counted it to him for righteousness. But in other parts of the Bible, he talks about how God made Abraham his very best covenant friend. Amen. So let's put it like this. The Lord knows the days. The Lord, our best friend, knows the days of his best friends. It says, and their inheritance shall be forever. How about this? Nothing external can affect what God gives them. Ooh! That's a good way to say it. We're just, hey, all we're doing is saying the same thing, just making it a little more simple in our everyday English. Verse 19, they shall not be ashamed or disappointed in evil times. Hey, listen, do y'all think that's an evil time right now in the world? That was a rhetorical question. Of course it is. But it said that we won't be disappointed right now. You know, another word for disappointment is unhappy. Unhappy. You don't have to look at the news and get unhappy. In fact, you don't have to look at the news at all if you don't want to. But we don't have to look at the news and be unhappy. We don't have to let CNN, Fox News, you know, whoever give us reasons to be unhappy. They're doing their best to give us reasons to be unhappy. We don't have to take it. He said, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Why not? Because God, our best friend, knows our days. And everything he's given us, our inheritance, is forever. His goodness and his mercy will never be subject to inflation. His goodness and his mercy will never run out or have a shortage. And he goes on to say this, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Hey, listen, there's some famines in the earth right now, but you know what there's also a famine of? Good old-fashioned inward happiness and fulfillment. And God wants you so overflowing with it that people ask you, why are you so happy? And they'll know it's not fake. They'll know it's not churchy, toxic religion fake. They'll know it's real. And you got a smile on a song. You're just, you're just giggly happy. Hey, good to see you, man. And you're just all, you know, showing all teeth, as it were, you know, big smiles. Hey, listen, you can't be this happy for too long and it not affect your face or affect your vibe, your aura. You know, people get in your circle, you know, get around you and be like, man, I just like being around you. Amen. Here's a good scripture I want you to hear. Psalm 68, verse 3. It says, let the righteous, God's best friends, be happy, be glad, is what it says in the King James. Let them celebrate before God their source. Yea, let them exceedingly celebrate. Man, we should out loud, throughout the day, remind our brain, our life, our personal space, and God himself how much we are thankful that we are happy and that we've been made his best friends. Our happiness is from him. Amen. If this helps you, listen, this isn't some concoction of happiness that you came up on your own. This isn't some moonshine still of happiness that you brewed in your closet or in your shed. This is God's very own happiness and love and commitment given to you. And man, it just makes us so stinking happy. Amen. Man. I'm excited about it. Psalm 91, the last verse, the 16th verse, God speaking, it says, with long life, I'll satisfy him. With long life, I'll satisfy him. Him who? Him who decides to make God his best friend, his refuge, his fortress, and to trust him. That's settled in verse 2. That man decided, he said, I will say of the Lord that he is. When he says, I will say, it means I've decided and I'm going on record that God is my fortress, my refuge, and my best, and my God in whom I trust, my source and my best friend in whom I trust. On the very last verse, God says it like this, and he says, hey, because he decided that, that touched me. And with long life, I'll satisfy him. Well, I used to hear it only one way, that with a long life, God would satisfy me, meaning I'll live a long time. I didn't catch it until recently that it also means this. All the days of your long life, he'll keep you satisfied. Ooh, glory to God. What does that mean? He's going to keep you happy all the days of your life, if you'll take it from him, meaning this, if you'll just decide you believe it and believe you receive it, he's made it available to you every day of your life. He said, I'm here to keep you happy every day of your long life. So what do we do again, Brother Duke? Easy. Throw up your hands to your best friend. Say, sir, thank you, I take it. That's all you need to say. Sir, thank you, I take it. I'm happy. I'm happy right now. I got your goodness in one hand, your mercy in the other. It's so good. It's better than any, brother, it's better than any ice cream. It's better than any cold drink on a hot day. I've got his goodness and his mercy. And I'm happy right now. Amen. Amen. Psalms 107 verse 9 says, he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Oh, man. Isn't that good? Well, listen, before we, as the saying goes, break contact here, I want you to hear this. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good. And we talked about both of those words at length. By the fruit of his mouth. So what comes out of our mouth, the words of our mouth have a strong effect on being satisfied with good. How we talk has an effect on our happiness and our satisfaction. Jesus said it like this, that you will have, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, what you say. If you walk around all the time, talk about how ticked off you are, and how unhappy you are, you're going to get exactly what you said. Not in some cosmic put good things or negative things out there in the universe. No, you are legally going on record that that's what you're taking. That's what you're approving of in your life. You're signing on the dotted line for that in your life. Well, if you've been doing that a lot, like, man, I'm ticked off, I'm this, and maybe using some extra colorful language, hey, just knock it off. No condemnation. Just, you know, meaning God's not putting guilt on you. Just stop that. That's a leak. You're leaking out your happiness. I was standing in front of the sink one day and I was washing some dishes. This was soon after I began to see some of this, you understand. And I got to thinking about a personal situation with some other people that I knew. And I was thinking about how they make decisions. And I was thinking about how, I think you've heard me in Happiness 101 maybe talk about this. But and how they went about doing things. And the more I thought about it, the more upset I got. And the more like, just what is their problem? And the Lord stopped me. What do you mean he stopped you? I heard this clearly down in my heart. Sometimes he speaks. Sometimes he communicates by signals or the witness of his spirit. This time I heard him in the still small voice of my heart say this. That is causing you to leak your happiness. That is producing a leak in your happiness. In fact, he said it like this, and it's suppressing your happiness. And when he said suppressing, I could see it. It was putting like a big weighted blanket on it. I'm like, well, hey, then I immediately knew what to do. Hey, I decide I forgive. And I also decide that their life is none of my business. Hey, you know what? This is an aside, but we need to hear it. Judging other people has never been easier than it is right now, especially access into other people's life like we do with social media and so other, there is, privacy is shrinking. So there's so much more that you could be judging about. It's none of my business. And you know, that immediate, I apologize, Lord. I fix that right now. And immediately I could sense happiness go, come right back up. And I was happy as a clam again. Amen. Our confidence in God must be expressed through our words. That's the covenant way. That's not a denominational way or some kind of, sect, S-E-C-T, Christian culture's way. That's the Bible. That's the blood covenant way. You believe with your heart. Make a decision to be confident in your heart. And then you express it with your mouth because it's legal. That's how God set it up. And so when you know that his goodness and your mercy, his mercy follow you every day of your life, talk about it. Father, thank you. You're my best friend. Treat him like a best friend. Just say, thank you for the goodness and mercy that sticks with me every day of my life. I'm so happy. But what if I don't feel like it, Brother Duke? Hey, we're not talking about feelings. Those come later. You know, soon, but they're not first, right? So you say, I'm so happy right now. Sir, I decide I'm content. You begin to thinking about stuff too much. And how about this? Because this is the way that Satan and darkness like to go to work on you. How about this? When they go to remind you all the stuff you don't have and all the things you'd like to have but don't have and don't have the money for right now. Hey, brush those aside. Not saying no to them. God can bring those to you. But right here, right now, we decide, I decide I'm happy. I'm content. Life is good. And I'm so thankful that you've made me your best friend. And I believe I receive your goodness and your mercy. Right when you don't feel like it. How about this? How about an emergency dose of happiness? Doesn't that sound good? Amen. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5, in the 16th verse, in the Amplified Classic says this. It says, be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. So, hey, let's break that down. Be happy. Lord, I decide I'm happy. I decide I'm thrilled and excited about you. And I'm excited about the blood covenant. And I'm excited about being best friends with you. I decide I'm happy right here and right now. And I celebrate it. Thank you, sir. Amen. Well, if he says do that and continually always, we can constantly be thinking about our happy thoughts. Hey, listen, you begin to just grit your teeth and you've heard about this, what the president did or is this elected official or whatever, a judge or, you know, who cares? Stop right then and there. And chase those thoughts away with thinking about, man, God has made me his best friend. And then how about this? Boss, bring me across someone's path today or this week that I can tell how good it is to be best friends with you. Thank you. I know you've heard me. Thank you. I'm excited about it. And how about this? Someone that I can be a friend to. Someone that I can be a friend to them like you've been a friend to me. Amen. There's a statement in the book of Acts that I want to read to you. It's in the second chapter of the book of Acts in the 25th verse in the Amplified Classic. It says, for David says in regard to him, I saw the Lord. Now let's translate and think about it. I saw the Lord, my best friend and shepherd, constantly before me. Does that mean he had an open-eyed vision of God? No. He kept his focus on it. He thought about it all the time that he was in blood covenant with Yahweh. He was in blood covenant with Jehovah. And that God who made the heavens and the earth was his best friend. And it says, for he's at my right hand, meaning that I'm in a blood covenant relationship with him. Is that I may not be shaken or overthrown or cast down from my secure and happy state. Let me read it again. For David says in regard to him, I saw the Lord, my best friend and shepherd, constantly before me. I kept my mind constantly on it. For he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. The King James says, I'll not be moved, overthrown or cast down from my secure and happy state. Notice, it's not just a state of being happy. There is security in it. You're unmovable in it. You're unshakable in it. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16, also the Amplified Classic. Paul writing goes, I am very happy because I now am of good courage and have perfect confidence. Let me read it again. I am very happy because I now am of good courage and have perfect confidence. Where'd that come from? I know that God has made me his very own righteousness in Christ Jesus, meaning he's made me the same righteousness that Jesus has. Oh, son. Man, I tell you what, man, it's got me thinking about my middle boy, my middle son. I still think of him as my little boy. He is a Spider-Man super fan, fanboy. He's got the Spider-Man video game one on PlayStation. He's got the Spider-Man Miles Morales game on Spider-Man on PlayStation. Well, what happened to Miles Morales? He got bit by the same spider that had bitten Peter Parker. What did he get? Same powers. Different person. God, when we accepted that Jesus had been our sacrifice, and we decided that he was our boss and our Lord and our best friend, and that we accepted his friendship, and we made an all-in, all-the-time commitment to him, we were given the same righteousness that Jesus has. Let me say it even simpler. We were given the same best friendship with God that Jesus enjoys being best friends with God with. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I'm very happy because, listen, I'm of good courage and I'm of perfect confidence. This isn't a wishy-washy happy where I'm kind of happy. I was happy this morning. Now I'm having a terrible day. Hey, listen, the day can get terrible, but doesn't mean that's where it has to end. The day ain't over yet. I said, the day isn't over yet. You can decide to be happy and this day can get better right now. Remember he said this, satisfy us early. That means first thing. You can go. There is nothing telling you that you have to wait to be happy about anything. You can go ahead and decide right now, boss, I'm taking your goodness and your mercy that you said is sticking with me every day of my life. What's it there for? For you to take it and enjoy it. For you to decide, I believe that I receive it, sir. And I'm happy right now. Oh, hey, listen, best friend. We see him constantly before us with our eyes like a vision. No, he's there. We don't need to see him. He's there. No, we constantly think about him. We constantly tell ourselves, Lord, you have made me your best friend. I've decided you're my best friend. And you're always at my right hand. You're never leaving me nor forsaking me. But always at the right hand is the place of best friendship. And I'll not be shaken or overthrown or moved away from my secure and happy state. Do y'all get that? Amen. Glory to God. Remember, we're talking about having an inner prosperity. Whew. We're talking about being satisfied and having an inward contentment. Before we go, I want to read you this definition of what it is to be content. It means a state of being happy under all circumstances. It means also to raise a barrier, to be possessed with unfailing strength, to be independent of external circumstances, and it also means to be satisfied. This comes from our union, our spirit-to-spirit union with God, our best friend. Amen. And being in blood covenant best friendship with him. And by his power and through his spirit, we can make a decision to accept into our inner life his goodness and his mercy. It's a whole lot easier to slice through the challenges of life being happy and with the decision to be content. So go ahead and decide it today. Sir, I decide I'm content. Sir, I decide I believe I receive your goodness and your mercy. I'm happy. This will affect, thank you, Lord, this will affect your mental health. This will affect your physical health. This will affect your outward success. And most of all, listen, this is of primary importance. It'll affect your interaction with others, and they'll look at you and want what you have. You don't have to go out and be cringy about telling people about the Lord Jesus and him being your best friend. They'll see it. You just develop friendships. You just develop, you be a trustworthy and consistent friend. They'll see it and they'll want it. And you're like, sure, I'm going to tell you exactly how I got it. It's super easy. I had friends who've called and said, hey man, I really want to hear about this. And I want faith so bad. I want faith in God. And they made it sound like, man, like we were going to go to, you know, some secret mountain, you know, treasure room. Like, no, brother, we can have this settled in 15 minutes. Amen. And they were just so relieved. Like, you mean it's not going to be hard? Like, no. Can you open the can on a Bang energy drink and quaff it down? Well, you can, if you can do that, you can do this. It's just as easy. Amen. Isn't it good? Man, aren't you excited that God wants you happy and satisfied all your days? Aren't you glad you know how to get it to you and just go, hey, whoa, hey, time out. Father, I'm just so thankful you're my best friend. I decide, I believe, I receive your goodness and your mercy. And I'm satisfied right now. Amen. Listen, if you've enjoyed this, I'm so glad about it. We want to hear about it. We want to hear you write to us and reach out to us. Let us know it's been a blessing to you. Also, there's no pull on this. There's no pressure either. If you want to be a part of the Misfit Toy Society team, as far as you want to support this message and get it into other people's hands who need to hear it, you can go online to misfittoysociety.com, go to Pay It Forward, and do whatever the Lord's leading you to do. We're so grateful for you. I'm so glad you heard about this. This will help keep you sharp, keep you happy, keep you moving forward, that there is no famine in the earth that is greater than God's ability to keep us satisfied and happy all of our days. Amen. Listen, we love you, and we'll see you soon.